States v. Pacheco-Diaz.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court.
Ms. Sewell.
Thank you. Defendant Appellant Angel Pacheco-Diaz respectfully requests that his case be remanded for resentencing based on four reasons. The first two go to the way the District Court calculated the sentence based on the definition of aggravated felony. The last two reasons go to the District Court's reasonableness and whether it really understood the breadth of its discretion in light of Booker.
So would you agree that the Supreme Court's decisions in the consolidated appeals of Toledo, Flores, and Lopez versus Gonzalez will likely answer the first two questions in the defendant's appeal?
I believe it will answer the first question. The second question is not part of the Lopez-Toledo case. So the first question just goes to statutory interpretation, whether aggravated felony should have a federal definition. And both parties here agree that the outcome in Lopez-Toledo should control that decision here. Should the unlikely happen and the Supreme Court not reach the decision, the government has effectively waived any argument that Gonzalez-Gomez, this court's decision in Gonzalez-Gomez, does not also control in the sentencing context. There is no basis asserted by the government to distinguish sentencing and deportation for purposes of the definition of aggravated felony.
Well, I thought that secondly, your second argument was that the district court erred in applying the recidivist statute to transform a state felony conviction for possession into an aggravated felony, and that issue is pending in Yanez-Garcia.
It is before this court, correct. And Yanez-Garcia is being held in abeyance pending Lopez.
So that's where
that comes in.
Right.
But again, the same interest of uniformity, the same interest, the same statutory interpretation, the same legislative history is implicated, whether it be sentencing or deportation. Therefore, aggravated felony should have a federal definition, regardless of whether it is a sentencing or deportation case.
Well, the opinion in Gonzalez-Gomez went to considerable lengths to distinguish the two situations, though, didn't it?
I would beg to differ.
In several spots, the opinion talks about how this is not sentencing enhancement, this is immigration, and immigration is different. We need national uniformity, etc.
It definitely talks about national uniformity in immigration, and it leaves open the question of whether the same would be true for sentencing. And it should be the same. We're not even talking about sentencing for drugs. We're talking about sentencing for an immigration crime. We're still talking about immigration policy and federal uniformity here, whether it be how the federal government chooses to punish an immigration crime or how it chooses to afford relief to someone who is subject to deportation. So there are really no points of distinction that the government has raised or that I can see that would counsel for a disjunctive approach here. The second issue goes to an argument that was not advanced by the government below, but that the district court took up on an alternative basis, which is, even if we were to adopt a federal definition of aggravated felony, would Mr. Pacheco still be considered an aggravated felon because he had an earlier drug conviction? Under the Controlled Substances Act, would this earlier conviction have enhanced his simple possession conviction in 2002 to a felony, thus making him an aggravated felon? Three circuits actually have agreed with the district court, follow the same approach, but we argue that the Ninth Circuit gives the better approach. The Ninth Circuit counsels the district courts to look only at the enhancements that are available for the crime of conviction. And this approach is the approach that should be applied here. It follows the categorical approach to defining crimes. It doesn't open up the facts of the earlier convictions, and it also protects the defendant's safeguards. When a defendant is faced with a potential enhancement, that defendant has the opportunity, one, to have notice that the conviction may be enhanced and much more severe.
What do you think is the bearing on this question of United States against Perkins?
I don't know.
We held in Perkins that state recidivism provisions can be considered for purposes of defining a prior felony under 922, whose structure is, so far as I can see, identical to this structure. So I don't see how we could accept your position or the Ninth Circuit's without overruling Perkins.
I would have to look at Perkins again and see how it applies here, but we're asking if the earlier 2000 conviction is to serve to that wasn't part of the record with which Mr. Pacheco was charged here in this current sentence. Maybe Gurbier v. Holmes from the Third Circuit would be in line more with Perkins. And the idea there was that if this prior conviction that's going to serve to enhance the current one here is to be used to enhance, then it should be made part of that conviction of that indictment. And in this case, the only conviction that was part of Mr. Pacheco's indictment was the 2002 simple possession conviction, not the earlier misdemeanor in 2000. Mr. Pacheco was afforded no procedural safeguards to defend himself, to contest that prior conviction, which was actually a guilty plea, and to think that that would have...
Isn't that always the case when we're talking about recidivism enhancements, that when a defendant has a state law criminal case and either pleads guilty or takes the case to trial and suffers the state law consequences, that it's completely collateral how that's going to be counted for federal sentencing purposes down the road, and we don't consider that to be any kind of due process notice violation?
But we count that the conviction will stand as it was. So here, the 2002 state felony conviction was for simple possession. Under the federal analog, that would just be a misdemeanor. And that's how we're doing the comparison here. Now we're saying that we should look not at the facts of that 2002 conviction, but revisit it, open it up. How would it have been if we look at the facts? Would it have been possible to enhance that to a federal felony?
Why not just look at it as for what it is, which is a state law felony, and count it accordingly, just as we would any other state law crimes? There are many state law crimes that don't have a federal analog, but that are counted for...
Well, because of the former argument that we're looking at this as a federal definition of aggravated felony, and we're going to look at it element by element under the categorical approach, under federal law, simple possession would not be considered a felony.
Yes, but under federal law, a recidivist conviction for simple possession is a felony. If one takes the hypothetical federal felony approach, then a recidivist conviction satisfies it. It does seem that your client loses coming or going.
No, because we would not be looking at the fact of conviction, at just the elements of that 2002 conviction. We would be going against the categorical approach established in, say, Taylor, that we're redefining the way that crime was charged in 2002 now.
Now I'm lost. The whole point of the hypothetical federal felony approach is not to ask what crime the defendant was actually convicted of. The defendant was convicted of a state crime. The question is what the crime would have been had it been this hypothetical federal felony. And I don't see how one can say do it as a hypothetical, but don't look at what the hypothetical would be because it wasn't part of the state crime. It's hypothetical. That's the whole point of it being a hypothetical federal felony.
Absolutely.
I can charge the hypothetical felony any way I want.
Absolutely. And hypothetically, it's a misdemeanor. And we're not going to also look at the enhancements.
Hypothetically, it's a felony. Because it's a second offense.
And hypothetically, if it were a felony, he would have been entitled to the procedural safeguards, which he did not receive. So hypothetically, he didn't get that. So we didn't satisfy. And it is fatal to the enhancement if the government doesn't allow for those procedural safeguards. The enhancement won't be applied, hypothetically, if we were looking at this as a federal felony.
What procedural safeguards were missing?
The notice and the opportunity to contest the earlier convictions.
So your argument is that he should have received notice in the state law felony proceeding that the offense that he was being charged with would enhance any subsequent federal sentence on a crime that he might commit?
Or at least in this current case. I see that I'm into my rebuttal time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sewell. Ms. Sewell, sorry.
That's okay.
Mr. May.
May it please the court, counsel. The first thing I would like to point out, going back to this first argument that the defendant raises, is of course, the Lopez case is before the U.S. Supreme Court. It was argued on October 3rd as their second case on the oral argument schedule and is scheduled for a decision sometime. There's also, as to the second argument that the defendant makes, according to the to the two simple possessions in state court, which were both felonies. That case, of course, is that same issue. It's before this court in the Yanez case, and briefing has been suspended on that case, and I think that was suspended as of April 29th of this year. I would like to point out a couple of things about the first argument, of course, whether a simple felony in state court can be used as a felony under the Controlled Substances Act, I think is controlled and will be decided by the Supreme Court in the Lopez case. As to the second issue, the recidivism portion of this case, the district court found, and the defendant did not object to the fact that the defendant had one prior state felony conviction. That conviction was complete. He then got and was convicted of a second felony possession charge in state court after the first one had been complete, and that is of the record. Under the Controlled Substances Act, putting aside just one felony conviction, whether that's a felony, and going to the second point, I think, Judge Easterbrook, I think you were correct in the case of Perkins controls that very thing. The Perkins case dealt with the ACC enhancement under 924C, and in that case, the defendant had complained that he wasn't advised in state court of the potentials. He was convicted of a trafficking offense, which was a Class II felony under state court, and the ACC statute requires that it be a drug trafficking offense in excess of 10 years imprisonment. This court found that, put aside the advisements, those weren't required. It's what could have been his sentence under that second offense. And because he could have been sentenced in excess of 10 years, it did qualify. And that the Perkins case was based upon a 2004 case from this court called Henton. And I think both of those cases, if you took the defendant's position, would require the overruling of both Henton and Perkins. In this case, in my brief, I've cited three other recent circuit opinion cases from the Fifth Circuit, the Sixth Circuit, and the Second Circuit, all of them on point as to whether a second conviction, which would have been a misdemeanor under the Controlled Substance Act, was now considered a felony under 18 or 21 U.S.C. 844 because of the enhancement based upon the first conviction. In this case, every prerequisite is there for this to be a hypothetical felony under federal law. If he was convicted and charged under federal law, he would have been sentenced up or could be sentenced. Hypothetically, he could be sentenced up to 2 years, which is a felony.
2 hypothetical years.
Again, Judge, you are correct. But hypothetically, he could be sentenced up to 2 years. That would, of course, be a felony under the Controlled Substances Act. And I think those three cases.
He has just offered to serve his 2 hypothetical years and be done with it?
Judge, I don't know. In addition to that, Judge, I think Judge Posner's opinion in the Gonzalez-Gomez case is.
Are you talking about Gonzalez-Gomez versus Achim?
I'm talking about the Judge Posner's case where he ruled in an immigration case.
Cases are not the cases of the judge whose name is signed to them.
I understand. This court decided in earlier this year in that case that.
Are you talking about 441 Fed Second 532? That's a she. Because we have, you know, a number of Gonzalez-Gomez cases.
The Gonzalez-Gomez case, which is at 441 F3rd,
yeah,
532.
Okay. In other words, if we were to rule today, you know, on the issue regarding the treatment of a state court felony that is a misdemeanor under federal law, you'd agree that our opinion in Ashley would?
We believe that would, right.
Okay. Okay.
But in that case, the opinion leaves open, especially the last paragraph, pointing out that that was an immigration case and was not dealing with a sentencing enhancement like we had in this particular case, where the guidelines were what the judge was deciding and what the appropriate guideline level was. And I believe in that particular case, it left open this particular situation where the defendant had two prior convictions in state court, which would make it a felony. And the court in that opinion specifically states that this is, that even though the guidelines were not, there were open to questioning at the time of that opinion, that this did not deal with the disuniformity of the immigration laws. And a sentencing enhancement was quite a different animal, so to speak, than the immigration law that was being dealt with in that case. And for that reason, I would ask that this court affirm the second reason the district court found that this defendant had two prior convictions, which would in fact be a felony under the Controlled Substances Act and therefore would be a drug trafficking offense for purposes of finding it to be an aggravated felony under the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. May. Anything further, Ms. Sowell?
Mr. Pacheco's sentence should be remanded for resentencing with instructions to the district court to adjust the 8-level enhancement to a 4-level enhancement for the federal definition of aggravated felony. And the hypothetical federal felony approach should not be used to transform his second conviction into a felony because it does not conform with the categorical approach to defining crimes, because it does not provide the defendant with accurate and adequate safeguards, and because the Ninth Circuit has announced the better approach. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And Ms. Sowell, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and the assistance you've been both to your client and the court. Thank you very much.